April 29th, 2021. We're in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Kaftet Amud Bet. And if you count from the bottom, it's 28 lines up. The last word on the line is Hoda. Easier, 27 lines up. And the first word on the line is Bifne, and then just backtrack one word. Yes? Okay, says the Gemara, Hoda Bifne Shenaim. Vekanu Miyado. Kotvin. Vimlav En Kotvin. Now, you might recall, we're in the midst of talking about circumstance wherein there are two people, and one is claiming that the other admitted in front of witnesses that he owes money. We said $100,000, $200,000, $1 million, whatever it is. That's the circumstance. Now, it's interesting, in each of those circumstances, we've been dealing with when the individual admits to it, well, how much do we trust his admission? Okay, so here's the case. New case. Hoda bifnei shenayim. He admits. It's a shame Joey's not here, but Joey's been my man. Right? Joey admits in front of two witnesses that he owes me that money. Vekanu miyado. He doesn't just admit. He doesn't just have witnesses present. What he does further is kinyan. Kinyan we refer to as kinyan halipin, kinyan sudar oftentimes. What's a kinyan sudar? Kinyan sudar works as follows, and we've seen it at the ketubah ceremony at weddings. It's where one individual is obligating themselves to the other. Now you want to designate, you want to show with an action that I am buying into this. So at the ketubah, the husband is buying into the rights of the woman and his obligations to her. The rabbi will step in for the woman, for the kala. He'll use a pen or use a handkerchief or something like that. That is, so to speak, the woman's side. The man, the hatan, picks it up. By picking it up, he transfers those obligations of his own. And then ultimately speaking, that pen, that handkerchief is his. But he gives it back because this is not something that's binding in the respect that he needs to hold on to it. It's in that moment, it's actually his. One of the first times I did, I said publicly, I said, this is a formal procedure at times. And one of the rabbis was, how could you say formal procedure? I was young enough and you could criticize me and I didn't say it publicly. Now I back off or something like that. But anyway, so he said to me, it's not a formal procedure. So it's a legal procedure. It is a legal procedure. In other words, this is what makes it binding. The first reference to my knowledge in Tanakh for this idea of Kinyan, we're going to read on Shavuot. It's with Boaz. Boaz is involved with another person who's the Goel. I'll skip the details for just a moment and just talk about it like this. The closest relative to Elimelech, who's the deceased individual, and his son Mahlon, is one guy. We never find out his name. Peloni Almoni. But he has, it's not his name. No. The rabbis say his name is Tob from Perikima, whatever. Anyway, now he has first dibs to this mitzvah of Geula, which we're not going to fully define. Now, he wants to pass it off to Boaz. And Boaz is going to now merit that zechut, that ability to do the geula. Says the pesukim. Say, tell us the pesukim. Boaz turns to me and says, make a kinyan. You need to make a kinyan so everyone sees that. What's that kinyan? He's not purchasing anything. He's transferring rights. And by transferring rights, says the pasuk, shalaf ish na'alo. Are you familiar with what that means? What that means is he took off his shoe. Why take him off your shoe? It means instead of a handkerchief or a pen, they used a shoe. Why'd they use a shoe, by the way? Because a shoe, I talked about this on Chabav this year, a shoe is our show of social standing. I don't know who this person thinks they are. Look at their shoes. Today we say their watch, we say their car maybe, but we say shoes as well. Shoes, once upon a time, shoes, the bondsmen, the slaves, didn't wear shoes. It was the masters who wore shoes. It was a societal thing. When Moshe encounters God at the Sinai, HaBo'ed Ba'esh, at the Har Elohim, Shalat, take your shoes off, because you're coming to me as who you are. Leave your social status. We say every morning, Sha'asali Kol Surki, that our shoes, God provided for me all my needs. It's my social standing. It's who I am. Because the fancier car, although I appreciate it as much as you, if not more, and I don't have it, right? But I can explain to you that we all know we don't need it. We know we need a vehicle to get around in. It's for a social standing. It's for a comfort level. It's the same thing with watches. We need something to show the time. Same thing with shoes. Shalaf ishna'alo is a description of in terms of saying to you that I'm giving you my honor on this matter, take off my shoe. Okay, that's all parenthetical. Says the Gemara in our circumstance. Says the individual, the Joey Levy, all right, I'm sorry, you just walked in already knocking, you're right. Says Joey Levy, I'm gonna admit to you, not only gonna admit to you, I'm gonna buy into this admission, so to speak. I'm gonna make a kinyan in the presence of two Aedim to say, I'll pay you back by X date, by the end of April. Okay, so that's the case. Now, in such a circumstance, can we, should we, as Aedim, as witnesses, write that down? That's a big deal to write it down in a document. It's not just going to be a milveh al peh. It's not just going to be a agreement verbally with the witnesses. It's going to be in shtar. Can we write it in shtar? Now, why would you want it in a shtar? Well, putting it in a shtar already solidifies it further. You don't have to deal with the witnesses not being present and so forth. Furthermore, halachically speaking, a document, according to halacha, gives you rights as the person who's owed the money that are greater than a verbal agreement. How so? It's what's called nechasim or karka'ot, which are mishu'abadot. Mishu'bad would be translated into English, I assume, as a lien, which means the following. I lent to Joey $100,000. He has in his possession $1 million of properties. Over the course of the month where he needs to pay me back, he sells them all out. I turn to him and say, pay up. I don't have any money any longer. Now, can I go and can I collect from any of those lands which he sold in the interim? Do I have a lien on them? If there's a document, I have a lien. I go and I say to them, you bought that? You know, I preceded you in terms of his obligations to me. That land wasn't actually his when he sold it to you. He didn't have full rights to it. You got to give it to me, and they don't have a choice. They have a choice. They have to give it up. Now, in this circumstance, that's why you would want a shtar. So again, back to him.
What if he brings the two witnesses there?
Not enough. Only a milveh bishtar is goveh min ha-mishu'abadim. Milveh al peh is not. So again, says the Gemara, now we got the case down. Hoda bifnei shenayim. If Joey Levy admits in front of two witnesses, v'kanu mi'adon, he does that kinyan. We preface, we explain what all this is. Kotvim. They can go ahead without Joey's permission, without his sivui, without his command, go and write a document. Why are they writing a document? Who gave you permission to write a document? Joey didn't want a document. Joey would rather it be milveh al peh. The answer is the Gemara in Masechet Bava Batra, Rashi quotes it, is that stam kinyan liktiva omid, which means to say that if you did a kinyan, if you're affecting this in that formal fashion of saying, I'm really buying into this, you are permitting them to, and anyone, to write a document attesting to this. Yes, Stanley?
Why is the Gemara saying three witnesses?
You're a few lines ahead of us. Right now we're on two. Says the Gemara, Hodah b'fnei shenayim v'kanu miyadov kotvin. V'im lav, in kotvin. If he didn't do a kinyan, there's no k'tiv ashtar. It's very nice he admitted. We could make a claim that he owes me the money, but there's no document to be written. If they wrote a document, it's against his will and it's invalid. Okay, what if alternatively he does a b'fnei shelosha v'lokanu? There you are, Stanley. Now he does it not in front of two witnesses. Joey Levy does it in front of three witnesses. He admits, I owe Harari $100,000. But he doesn't do a kinyan. Can they go ahead and write a document?
Why three, though?
Why would three be any different? The answer to three being any different is because of our first Mishnah. The standard Beit Din is three. Standard Edim, although the Torah says, Al-Pi She'enayim Edim, O Shalosh Edim, but standard Edim is two. Why did Joey Levy do this in front of three? He must have been giving them not just the power of witnesses, but the power of judges. But they're not judges. Look at these guys. They're good guys. They're not judges. Okay, he's treating them as judges for this case. If they're judges, courts can force a document. Courts can sit down and write a document. They do it with the power vested within them, as Rashi explained, called Hefker Betin Hefker. Courts have the ability to seize the possessions. You know, what do we call it in American law? Eminent domain, right? And they're able to seize, for whatever reason they see fit, maybe it's a little bit more, you know, segmented, a little bit more narrow in American law, but in Jewish law, in halacha, they have the ability, hefker bet din hefker, they're able to establish. Now that he did it in front of three, can those three go ahead without his will, without his knowledge, without his consent, and write a document? He didn't do a kinyan. Says the Gemara, Rav Amar Kotvin. Rav says, certainly. He turned them into a Beit Din. He said to them, you guys have full authority. You're not just witnessing this. You're not just attesting this. You guys are playing judges. Rav Aseh Amar En Kotvin. Exactly. Since it's three. Not as a witness. It's as a Beit Din. course he admitted. I mean, if there's no admission, we're not writing down a false document. That's a shtah without a kinyan.
Everyone have to be in agreement for three then.
They're not. There's no agreement. They're not. We're not deliberating. Joey Levy is in front of these three guys. He says, I owe Ari $100,000. Period.
Right.
Everybody agrees to the facts.
You have to agree.
Of course I want his money. Of course I... No, the document's only going to help me. It's only going to hurt him.
Why
was he doing it with three? He was saying to the three, I'm so honest about this. I'm so serious about this that you guys are like a Beit Din. If you guys are like a Beit Din, you have the authority to write it down in a document. Who cares if it's in a document? Document makes him a lot weaker. Document makes it now that I have a lien on all of his properties have a lien on them.
Why are they not like the farmers, though?
What's that?
Why are they not like the farmers?
Or the Nu'ason or whatever it is, all those circumstances. So the answer is, we don't really assume that they are Dayanim. But we assume it has to be, I mean, I assume it's something in between. We assume alternatively that the fact that he said three instead of two is he's saying, go ahead and do what you need.
It's a man of ball game and there's 30 guys there, what's the difference?
Good. Says Jeffrey, here's a question. Was it they were just here, and so he made the admission? It was the proposal at the ball game, so there's thousands of people watching, and it just happened to have done it that way. Or did he gather three? The Gemara will make such a distinction. The Gemara will say, if he gathered three as opposed to two, okay, I understand your claim. If there were three there, they're just hanging out, and he comes over, and he's talking to Harari, and he admits to it, okay, then we don't assume that he was taking three as opposed to two. He was taking three because there were three there.
The shtar only provides collateral, that's it.
The shtar, more than, I mean, you call it collateral? Yeah, safety.
Because Joey Levy admitted in front of two witnesses that he owes you the money, he's obligated.
Absolutely. But the shtar gives me strength. Since I'm the tovea, gives me the strength of collection. Correct.
As long as the shtar is in play, the debtor is owed, the debtor has to pay.
He has to pay regardless.
Certainly, but he has to pay. That's what AB says is getting a little confusing. He has to pay even if it's milveil pe.
Yeah.
And we're going to force him to pay anyway. But he might say, if there's no document, I don't have a penny to my name. Mm-hmm. I don't have any money. I'd love to give you a rare, but I don't have any money.
Right.
If alternatively there is a document, I go and I collect from Mishur Abadim. I go and I take from any property after the time. Yeah. That's right, if he had. That's what I gain with this.
Who holds the shtar? You?
Me. Okay. Of course.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, of course. Otherwise, you'll rip it up. We'll never trust you with it.
Says the Gemara, the Tovea, the Malveh, Rav Amar Kotvin, Rav Asi Amar En Kotvin, Hava Uvda.
Something like this took place where there were three witnesses and he admitted in front of them, V'hashla Rav Lehad Rav Asi. Okay, and they veered on the side of caution that you're not allowed to be kote. But they wrote a document, they told him, rip it up. That was an invalid document. But it was three witnesses, doesn't matter. Three witnesses is like two witnesses. Amar Avada Barada, Ha Odita. Odita milashon hoda'a, the document which has written in it testimony to admission. Admission of what? That he owes me $100,000. That's what we call an odita. In the yeshivas, they call it odisa. Yeah, odita, like Odessa. Odita, zimnin katvinan, vizimnin la katvinan. Says the Gemara, there are times during which, in the presence of three, we write the document, sometimes we don't. Well, what do you mean? When yes, when no? Jeffrey Gindy. If they're already gathered, right? Hakanaf means where something's gathered in the corner. They're already together. Viyatve, and they're sitting together. These guys are already here. And he comes and he's admitting in front of them. Lakatvinan. We don't write a document based on that. We don't say that he's investing them with the authority of Beit Din to write even against his consent or without his consent. We say they happen to have been there. However, kanfinhu, ihu. Kanfinu means he gathered them, him, meaning the love. He gathered three guys, as opposed to two, katvinan. In that circumstance, we say there's
Rav
a certain...
Rav Asi doesn't agree to that.
Rav Asi would not agree to that, we assume. Rav Asi seemed to be saying unequivocally, you'll never be kotev, indeed. Rav Amar, afilu kanfinu ihu la katvinan.
Why does he say no, though?
Which one?
Why does Rav Asi say no?
He's gonna help. He's gonna tell us. Ad until says Rava. You're in this line, yeah. Rava says I won't even if he gathers unless he says like this. I mean, I'll say it to you before we even read it inside. He says, say you gathered three. They happen to be your three buddies. It's true. You didn't have to gather three. You could have gathered two. But come on. You gathered three because you were saying to yourself, I'm giving you the power of authority of Beit Din. Oh, come on. That's not why you gathered three. You saw three guys. You gathered them in. You didn't want to say, I only need two of you and leave one out. You took three and three's okay. He says, but sometimes we could say you actually meant it. How would we say, if you actually played this up as a Beit Din? How would you actually play this up? If Joey Levy turns to him and says, guys, be my, not witnesses, be my judges. Mor Barav Asher Amar, Mor Barav Asher goes even further. He says, be my judges. But come on, they're not judges and they're doing it here in the side room, on the street or whatever. Afilo Amar, Havu Alay Dayane, Lakatvine. Lakatvinan, you can't write it just because he said, be my Dayanim. It's not a game. Ad the kabae or the kavae duchta veshalhe umezamenele lebedina. Until there's actually the formal sending to him, establishing a location where this judgment and case will take place. When you have all the underpinnings, the trappings of Dayanut, we sent to him. We called that a hazmana, if you recall in the past, where you send to the fellow. You bring him to a specified place, which was designated by the judge. Okay, then it's a judgment. Go ahead.
So we learned earlier in the past, in the Gemara that Dine Mamonot, you're allowed to elect your own judges. Is there a way that you could elect your judges? Do you have to publicize it? Is it along these lines as well?
But again, then this is not, you can't compare this to any other judgment case. They're not judging anything.
Yeah,
they're testifying.
Uh-huh.
They're playing the role of judges only in the respect that against or without your consent, they're writing a document.
Uh-huh.
Not really judges. They're not making a determination between me and you. They're listening to your words. If there's any deliberation, they're going to the real judges. Do you know what I'm saying? It's only judges
so you need a judge to be able to write a shtar. It can't be a witness?
No, you need witnesses.
So you have that now?
Yes. If you have witnesses and you tell them or you make a kinyan, you tell them write a shtar or you make a kinyan, then it's kosher. You didn't say that, Joey.
But then why are we calling them judges? Like, why are we switching it from...
Because you're giving them further authority. By bringing them in as judges, quote-unquote, you're saying to them, you guys are more important than just witnesses. Just witnesses, they can't write if I don't tell them to. You're judges, you guys have the power. And why would I do that? Why would you do that? You want to really show me that you're an honest guy. Mm-hmm. You want to say, I'm standing behind this. And whatever they need to do, I don't know if they're going to write a document, whatever they're going to do, they're going to do it. Three guys, Dayanim, I want to do this for real. You know, that's the type of thing.
When a debtor is tied up to pay in court, does the court write up a document?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I mean, if the case takes place, you're saying they judge and make that determination. Yes. Yes.
With his knowledge,
but he doesn't have a say on it.
No, of course not.
But there'll be circumstances, which we'll see in just a few moments, which are a bit different. They didn't even deliberate. A real court case. We walked into court, and I admit in front of the judges. Not that I gathered three. I actually admit in front of the judges. Such a circumstance as well. They have the authority to write it up. No kinyan necessary, none of that. They're judges.
So it's the normal way that a debtor would be chayav to pay, is by writing up. A shtar would be written when he's chayav.
From the witnesses.
Whoever,
yes.
There
yes. It's generally the normal way. I can't tell you what was generally happening, you know, in terms of numbers. It's possible a lot of them were milvei alpe. It probably depends on the time period and, you know, that sort of stuff. To keep in mind, it costed a lot of money as well. These official documents weren't printed out of the computer. You needed a scribe. You needed to make sure it was good and all that sort of stuff. Okay. Hoda b'metaltele v'kanu miyado. Okay, what we've been dealing with until now is Joey Levy admits to me he owes me $100,000. Now he says, you know that car of yours, you know that car in my driveway? It's actually yours, Herrera. You lent it to me. So, and the car is valued at $40,000. So I owe you $40,000. That's how he says it. He says, the car is yours and I owe it back to you. And as a result, he's going to pay me in money. And they make a kinyan. He makes a kinyan, these witnesses. He makes a kinyan in front of them. Again, what would the kinyan look like? The kinyan would look like him passing his shoe, his handkerchief, his pen to me. Okay. Kotvin. What's that? No. He's admitting to what, the kinyan?
No, the car.
The car was me lending it to him. But in my lending it to him, I didn't expect to get the car back. I expected to get the value. We always say that milveh, when I lend something, lehotza'anitna. You could use it however you want. I'm getting the value in return. So he's admitting to the value. Okay, so...
If I lend him the car, give him the car back.
If the car is in the exact value that it was when I gave it to you, you had no wear and tear and you left it in your driveway and you covered it and all that sort of stuff, so then you give it back. If it had wear and tear and went down in value, I'm expecting money, not the car. That's the halacha. You're right. If I stipulate or I told you, just give me the car, it's okay. But milve lehotza'a nitna. We assume when I give you something, you use it however you like, and you give me the money in return. Okay, the kanumi ado kotvin. So and such as if there was a kinyan, of course. The edim go ahead without the consent of Joey Levin. They write a shtar. Vim lav en kotvin. So far, so good. I mean, it means that metaltele, metaltel means to carry. We use that word on Shabbat. It means a movable object, right? It's identical to what we've been talking about until now. Money. No reason to think any differently. Bimekarka'e. Karka means land. Joey Levy doesn't admit that he owes me the car. He admits that the land that he's sitting on is really my land. And he owes it back to me. So what's the halakha in such a... Vilokanu miyado. And there's no kinyan. Mai. What's the halakha in such a circumstance? Why would you distinguish? They didn't do a kinyan, so you can't write a shtar. You don't do things against Joey Levy's will. He's got a consent. It wasn't a bet din. He didn't tell them. He didn't do a kinyan. Why would you say that land is maybe different? It goes like this. The different land, since it's unmovable, since land is in its place, it means an admission means it's mine. That's it. Done. I don't even need to make a kinyan on it. It is mine. He says this land is yours. So whose land is it? Mine. Based on what authority? He just said it's mine. That's it. Chalas. When it comes to money, it's what we call, the Gemara will call mechosar. It's missing. Haser, it's absent. Govaina, I haven't grabbed it yet. So he says, I owe you $100,000. Whose money is that money in his pocket? His, until I grab it. The land isn't going anywhere. He said, that land is yours. That land's yours. It's done. As a result, maybe even without his consent, we can write a document. That's the Gemara's suggestion. Mahi, what's the halakha when it comes to his admission on land? Maybe land is different. Amemar amar en kotvin. Says Amemar, no. You don't write against the guy's will. Without the guy telling you, you don't write. Morzutra amar kotvin vehilchita kotvin. The halakha indeed is, if we're dealing with land, his admission, once he admits to it, done. It's mine, as a result, you're right. Ravina ikla lidimaharaya. Says the Gemara, Ravina visited a place called Maharaya, or Dimaharaya. Visits this place. Amar le Ravdimi bar Ravuna midimaharaya. So this rabbi, Ravdimi, from that location, turns to Ravina and says to him, le Ravina, metaltele. Ve'itnehu be'enayhu mai. Here's the circumstance. Charlie's question. You lent me the car, says Joey Levy. I didn't touch it. I don't know, maybe you're going to tell me cars go down in value over time anyway. I don't, whatever. It's an exact condition and value of when you lent it to me. What's the halacha in such a circumstance? Again, if we were assuming he's paying me back money, so until I grab that money, the money's not mine, right? The land is unmovable, it's there. Over here, the object, once you say, this is yours, Joey, you need to make a kinyan, you don't need to make a, this is yours, I haven't touched it, I haven't done anything to it.
It's not a loan, that's a sale.
It's not a sale.
What do you mean, I'm giving you the object?
You lent this to me.
You lent this to me.
I need to give it back to you. You're not making any profit on this.
But the expectation was
that's not a sale. That's a loan. A loan means I gave you
the intention that it's going to be used.
Okay. In this circumstance, it wasn't.
No, but even if it was used, the assumption is that if I loan you my axe,
you're going to use it and it's going to diminish in value and you're going to give me that back. All right. In halakha, unless it's stated and you can do so, we assume I'm giving it to you and I'm getting back the same value. So you used it and diminished it, you give it back to me and pay the deficit, you know, and pay the difference. That's the way it works.
It's not necessarily.
Or you pay me the money.
Money.
How are you paying back?
I'm just asking. So
what are you paying me?
But if you lent the item, if it's in the exact same condition, what's the difference?
That's right. So that's exactly the case. The case is be'inayum, ayin means to look at it, it's exactly as it was. Now, in such a circumstance, Joey says, I have your car. He hasn't touched it. So in such a circumstance...
You never made kinyan on it, meaning?
Nobody made it. We didn't make a kinyan as he admits to this.
No, the
right?
Now, never used it.
Never used it. Right. He never made a kinyan halva or something like that. Correct. So it's never entered into his real... He never changed anything on this. In such a circumstance, does he need to write a document or not? Excuse me. In such a circumstance, can the edim write a document against Joey's will? What do you mean? Well, the same way we said on land, the halakha was, if Joey just admits the land's yours, well, it's mine. Nothing's changing on the land. I just walk and I sit down on the land. And as a result, of course, they could write a document. You're not getting around this anyway. The land is not moving anywhere. So too over here. If the item hasn't changed, do we assume that the item's going to change until I go and I grab it? Or alternatively, do we say it's as if it's mine already? In other words, the only reason you would say they can't write a shtar is because maybe something will change in the interim, and as a result, he'll have to end up paying me money, and as a result, it's not actually mine already. Alternatively, it's already mine. Of course they could write it. Says the Gemara, "Mitaltele ve'itnehu be'inayu mai amarle kimakarka edame." Okay, damu. The answer is, they're just like land. Why should they be? Rav Ashi amar, kevan de mehasere govayna lo. Alternatively, Rav Ashi says, not so. Literally, the words mean, since they are missing collection. Rashi, which is a difficult Rashi, as explained by others, goes like this. Since it's missing collection, and until the time of collection, something might happen to that car, it's not actually mine already. I don't want it to actually be mine already. As a result, we can't force the shtar. Okay, says the Gemara, a few more of these types of cases. Hahi odita. Again, there's a shtar that has attested in it that Joey Levy admitted to owing me $100,000. However, delahava katuvba amar lana, kitvu vehitmu vehavule. Generally speaking, in the shtar, you would explain why this was being written. Either you say, he made a kinyan. That's what we do in a ketubah. Vekanina mine. We made a kinyan from him. The kinyan, as we explained, affects the fact that we could write a document without him actually saying, write the document. Right? Without the woman actually saying, write a ketubah. Kanina, he made a kinyan. Chalas, he doesn't need to say. He doesn't need to admit to it. Not the woman, the man doesn't need to admit. The ketubah is done. Over here, it doesn't say in the shtar that he made a kinyan. So we assume there's no kinyan. And secondly, it doesn't stay in the shtar that he told us to write the shtar. Is this an invalid, against the consent of Joey Levy's shtar or not? Joey comes into court, he says, I never told him to write a shtar. We're looking at the document, and the document says, but you admitted. He says, I admitted, I don't have any money. I said, I don't care if you have money, I'm going to go take from all the lands that there's a lien on. He says, there is no lien, I never wrote a document. But they wrote a document. So why would they write a document? I didn't make a kinyan. I never told them to write one. I show them the document. I'm holding on to a document. So he starts reading the document. He says, it never says in the document any of the legal proper formulations. Read the fine print, Ari. It doesn't say I made a kinyan. And it doesn't say I told them, kitvu v'chitmu v'havule, write and sign and give it to Harari. Without that, it's probably an unbinding document. If he didn't do a kinyan or say that, it's certainly unbinding. Do we assume alternatively the fact that this document was written and signed by kosher witnesses, they actually did it right. They just forgot to write the proper language. I mean, I feel like lawyers would probably love this type of case. This is the technicalities case. We all know, or we assume, this was done right. On the other hand, it's not stipulated. Should we have suspicion that it was done wrong against his will? Says the Gemara, Abayeva Rava Damre Tarvayu, Hainu Deresh Lakish. Abaye and Rava both said together, or whatever, separately, they both maintained, this is similar to the case of Resh Lakish. What's the case of Resh Lakish? De Amar Resh Lakish, Hazakai Ena Heidim Hotmin Al Shtar, Elaim Ken Naasa Gadom. Here's the circumstance. A fellow, and we'll understand it's parallel, a fellow passes away. He leaves a child. The child is below the age of 20. Now, being below the age of 20, we will, midrabbanan, rabbinically speaking, not allow him with the inheritance to make all sorts of deals. We think he's immature until he hits the age of 20. I think they're still immature after they get past the age of 20. But anyway, we say he's immature. He's not going to make cogent decisions. He can't make those decisions. Okay, so now we don't know exactly when the shtar was written, the age of the individual at that time. Should we assume that the witnesses did their research and made sure that he was 20? Because there's a chance, based on our timeline, that he wasn't. Or alternatively, should we say, since we're uncertain, maybe he wasn't 20. Hazakah, the strong halachic psychological assumption is the edim would not sign unless they verified that he was 20 years old, which means when people put their name on a piece of paper testifying in a Jewish court of law in some way or fashion, they look into it to make sure that it meets all the criteria. As a result, in this case, it's true the shtar is missing some lines. It's true it doesn't say explicitly he told us to write it. It's true it doesn't say explicitly he made a kinyan. We assume one of those is true. Why do we assume one of those? Why would they put their names on the bottom otherwise? That's what Resh Lakish says. You think very carefully before you put your name at the bottom. As a result, that's how they're posek halacha, says Abayin Rava. Although Levi now claims it's an invalid document. I like that you procured that document, but it means nothing. We say to him, what do you mean? It's got people's names written on the bottom. He says, no, but it doesn't have the proper wording. But come on. They wouldn't have signed had that not actually taken place. We have a question now. I love this line. I love the response. The matkif, the question goes like this. Do you think that the sofrim, the scribes in the Betin, know halacha better than us? What do you mean, halacha? Here we are deliberating. What's the halacha? If we didn't make a kinyan, if we had three edim and it's like a betin, we have all these deliberations. We're not really sure what the halacha is. We do know that you can't just write a shtar heke with an admission, but we don't know under what circumstances. You're telling me that the scribes and the betin know all those halachot? That's what you're telling me? That they're wiser than the rabbis when it comes to halacha? We're the rabbis of the Talmud. We're uncertain about these halachot. We have machlokot about these halachot. You're telling me the scribes and the Beitin, I get it. The age of 20, everybody knows. Okay, everybody knows that they won't sign. You're telling me these witnesses and the scribes, they all know the halacha, that we don't write a shtar unless he either made a kinyan or he said to do so, and therefore we assume that's what was done? Come on. Come on. So the fact that these two guys are signed on it, says Joey Levy, they don't know the halacha. I said, no, but it was done in Beitin. There was a scribe. Come on, they don't know the halacha either. What do you mean, John? Of course they know the halacha. He says, the rabbis don't even know the halacha. You tell me the scribes know the halacha better than the rabbis? The rabbis are uncertain. Haven't they been uncertain? They've been going back and forth. It's kinyan, metatilin, karkarot, shaloshal, all sorts of svekot. The scribes of the Beit Din know it. Alternatively,
that's their job.
Says the Gemara. So what they do in order to get to the bottom line of this? Again, Joey Levy is claiming that the shtar that I'm holding, which doesn't have the proper wording in it, it does say that he admitted. He says, I did admit. No fight about that. However, he says, I never told them to write a shtar. You can't take from those properties which are the lien. There is no lien. I said, what do you mean? Why so? He said, I never made a kinyan. I said, but you told me to write it. Doesn't say that I told you to write it. You think they would sign if you didn't tell me to write it? But it doesn't say it in there. And yeah, I do. I don't think they know the halacha. Says the Gemara, Sha'alinu lesafre de Abaye. They went to the sofrim of the Betin, the scribes of Betin of Abaye. They said, do you guys know the halacha? Do you write a shtar without the consent, without the viyada'e? And they knew the halacha. Unlike the rabbis, the sofrim knew it. As Solomon said, it's their job. Lesafre de Rava. They went and they asked the sofrim of Rava's Betin. And they also knew the halacha. So indeed, the halacha would be you lose the case. In other words, you admit it, and I can go and collect from those lands. Okay, let's just read a little bit more here. Last line says the Gemara, Hahi Odita. There was another one of these documents in which it says, Joey Levy admitted to a $100,000 debt to me. The Hava Katav Be Duchran Pitgame. The wording of the shtar was not of testimony, but was rather duchran. Duchran is milashon zikaron. It described what happened, not described what was attested to. The difference in wording, this is what Jared was asking about earlier. I can have a document which is written by witnesses or with the consent or with the words of witnesses. It will say in it, we are attesting to the fact, we're testifying about the fact that we heard him say X, Y, and Z. The words in it is, we are edim. This shtar doesn't say that. This shtar says, this is what happened. Joey Levy admitted in court, which means, it sounds like, this document was written with the consent and by the Beit Din, not by the Dayanim. Okay, now what's the status of that document going to be? Keep in mind, if it's done by the Beit Din, what's the halakha? Beit Din doesn't need him to do a kinyan. Beit Din has the authority to say, we wrote a document against your will, tough luck. We do it, we're Beit Din. We can take your, seize your property no matter what. However, here's the crazy part. This document has only two people signed at the bottom. Not three. Beit Din is three. So I say to Joey Levy, one of them died before they wrote the document. There were three, and come on, you remember, you admitted in front of three, it was a real Beit Din. Look at the wording, it's Beit Din. Joey Levy says, but look at the wording of the document. If one of them died, they would have had a special wording. It would have said, we had two, and one of them's not with us. It doesn't say those words. So I don't know how to explain this to you, Harari. I don't know why the witnesses wrote this funny wording and the whole thing, but it's proven from within this that this isn't the Beit Din's work. This is a messed up Edim or messed up Beit Din. Something's off over here. Let's just read it and then we'll stop over here. V'choli shne de Beit Dina. And it's written with all the proper language and terminology of Beit Din. However, at the bottom, where only two people are signed, it doesn't say, V'lahava katavba, and it was not written in it, Bemotav, we switch the taf with the shin, Bemoshav, at the sitting of Telata, meaning three, Havina, we were three sitting, V'had letohi, and one of these judges is no longer. That's the proper legal terminology. So here, again, think American law. The lawyer is looking at the technicalities. He's looking at the fine print. He said, I could prove to you there's something wrong with this document. It's written as if it's a Beit Din who have the authority to write this document against his will. On the other hand, there are only two people signed on it. Maybe one of them died. Can't be. They would have written that in it. We'll stop with that and the conclusion of it afterwards. But says Ravina, same thing as Resh Lakish. What's Resh Lakish? Resh Lakish is the rabbi we saw over here. That would not have signed. Any document which has people signed on it, we assume it was done properly. But the fine print is off. The fine print is off, but it was done properly. What do you mean it was done properly? It was done in a Beit Din of three. They forgot to write those words. They're not going to sign. They're not going to put together a document unless it's done. Kasher, kadin, v'kadat. And as a result, that's his initial statement. You saw the word savar. Savar means he thinks. It means there's going to be a response to him. We'll see you tomorrow. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.